Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents The Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Hey, hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dave of the Dave and Gieske Rock Show. Just looking at the title that he put on the page, it's the Dave and Gieske Show. So maybe I'll fix that promo, that intro music stuff. Anyways, we got a great show for you tonight. We got lots going on. Gieske is going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. He's occupied with removing or extracting himself from his dialysis machine, having gotten his radiator flushed. So, is that G? Hey, G.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
I just had to come in and laugh at that real quick. My radiator flushed.
He didn't want to miss the, and that's not a sexual thing, just by the way. But he wanted to hear the show opening. He wanted to hear me say, "We got a great show for you."
Yes, I'm gonna go ahead and mute myself again.
All right. You go for it. So yeah, we got a great show for you. Let's get these things out of the way. If you're interested in getting in touch with Gieske or myself, you can email GieskeRocks@, if you can imagine this, GieskeRocks@airwavesamerica.com. He's got an email address set up with that, and apparently you can contact me at dave@airwavesamerica.com. And like I said last week, I have yet to access that account. So it might not be the best way to get in touch with me yet. Pretty soon. Big news today for me. I composed a tweet. I tweeted today for the first time in... Yeah, I'll tell you that right now. What I did is I tweeted the link to the show. And I just tried to go through and see how many people I recognized on the suggestions. You hit @ and then you hit a letter and see who pops up. And there was only one or two that I really recognized. So I tagged them in the tweet and, I mentioned them. So, yeah, but that was big, big news. I haven't tweeted in. You can look at the dates on my timeline. There's nothing really going on. So if you want, apparently I get email notifications of tweets. If somebody mentions me in a tweet, I'll get an email saying, "Hey, 425 people have tried to contact you through Twitter." Which I don't open usually, because I have probably 68 or 9,000 unopened emails in my email. I peruse them. I open the ones that I think I need to read, and then I just leave the rest. Oh, I'll tell you how many I got: 69,543 unread emails. But I check them every day. I just don't open them and read them. So, anyways, that's how you can get in touch with us. I'm on Facebook, Dave Graham. I got a page for my band, and I might have a line on replacing the guy that quit just a little while ago. So I might be back to band status. We'll see. I'll chat with him this weekend, and you know, we'll see if it's something that fits. He's a guitar player. He's a vocalist. He's retired. He's got plenty of experience. So kind of excited to chat with him. We just so far have just texted back and forth. But yeah, so you can find me on Facebook if you want. And on, like I said, on that, you'll find some of the other pages that I have for my music stuff. I don't know if G-Ski has any Facebook pages. If he does, he'll tell you about it if he wants you to know. He might, because he does DJ work and among other things. And he'll, like I said, I don't know how he promotes that, if at all. Got to thinking today, of course, I've been following, like I have for the past few weeks, the most prominent forensic audit in Arizona going on. And there is a lot of new news coming up on what's going on. Let me just infiltrate, boost, release, let's kill some cops, rumble. No, I threw a couple of links over here. Just the news. Senate President warns Maricopa non-compliance irregularities found. So let me see if let me hit that one and see if that's something that's do 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 no no no. I have to paste it into a browser. All right, so I can do that. Boom. I'll open up a tab. I just wanted to just give you guys some context of what I'm talking about. It seems like, oh, yeah, you know, it's right-wingers, you know, they're going to keep looking until they find something. Not for nothing, but all of the left-wingers for the past 4 years, 4.5 years, were looking for any little thread they could pull, and when they couldn't find threads to pull, they made stuff up. And that's been proven. It just hasn't been widely reported. So here we go. JustTheNews.com. Pretty cool site. The head of the Arizona Senate confirmed this week that an audit of the Maricopa County election in November has identified significant irregularities as well as missing data, with the county itself also being warned of its ongoing non-compliance with the Senate's audit subpoenas. They have subpoenaed servers, and they're just refusing to give it to them. There was a letter. I don't know if this is the one. No, there's one that has the letter that was written to the election the supervisors of the county. Hold on. Boom. This one is, let me just get down. Oh, man, so many pop-ups. I just want to just really quick hit this because they have a copy of this letter from the Senate President Karen Fan, and she represents the 55th legislature in Phoenix, Arizona. So they have, an official letterhead. They have this letter scanned. And it is, too, it is dated May 12, 2021. Maricopa Board of Supervisors, care of Chairman Jack Sellers. It gives the address. This is Phoenix, Arizona. Dear Chairman Sellers, I'm writing to seek your assistance and cooperation in the resolution of three serious issues that have arisen in the course of the Senate's ongoing audit of the returns of the November 3, 2020 general election in Maricopa County. Number one. Ongoing non-compliance with the legislative subpoenas. The first issue concerns Maricopa County's apparent intent to renege on its previous commitment to comply fully with the legislative subpoenas issued on January 13, 2021, which, as you know, Judge Thomason found were valid and enforceable. To date, attorneys for Maricopa County have refused to produce virtual images of routers used in connection with the general election, relying on a conclusory and unsupported assertion that providing the routers would somehow, quote, endanger the lives of law enforcement officers, their operations, or the protected health information and personal data of Maricopa County citizens. That seems kind of thin. Yeah, so that's the first one. Number two, here we go. Chain of custody and ballot organization anomalies. As the audit has progressed, the Senate's contractors have become aware of apparent omissions, inconsistencies, and anomalies relating to Maricopa County's handling, organization, and storage of ballots. We hope you can assist us in this, in understanding these issues, including specifically the following. Wow, that's five things. Number one, the county has not provided any chain of custody documentation for the ballots. Does such documentation exist? And if so, will it be produced? Number two, the bags in which the ballots were stored are not sealed. Although the audit team has found at the bottom of many boxes cut seals of the type that would have sealed a ballot bag. Why were these seals placed at the bottom of the boxes? Number three, batches within a box are frequently separated by only a divider without any indication of the corresponding batch numbers. In some cases, the batch dividers are missing altogether. This lack of organization has significantly complicated and delayed the audit team's ballot processing efforts. What are the county's procedures for sorting, organizing, and packaging ballot batches? That's the question mark. Number four, most of the ballot boxes were sealed merely with regular tape and not secured by any kind of tamper-evident seal. Is that the county's customary practice for storing ballots? All right, four in fairness is kind of thin because they probably just taped it shut. Number five, the audit team has encountered a significant number of instances in which there is a disparity between the actual number of ballots contained in a batch and the total denoted on the pink report slip accompanying the batch. In most of these instances, the total on the pink slip, on the pink report slip, is greater than the number of ballots in the batch, although there are a few instances in which the total is lower. Okay. What are the reasons for these discrepancies? For your reference, please see several illustrative examples in the table below. Yeah, all right. And then they give a little flowchart there. Number three, the big main thing, number three, deleted databases. We have recently discovered that the entire database directory from the D drive of the machine EMS primary, quote unquote, has been deleted. This removes election-related details that appear to have been covered by the subpoena. In addition, the main database for the election management system, EMS software, results, tally, and reporting, quote unquote, is not located anywhere on the EMS primary machine, even though all of the EMS clients reference that machine as the location of the database. This suggests that the main database for all election-related data for the November 2020 general election has been removed. Can you please advise as to why these folders were deleted and whether there are any backups that may contain the deleted folders? And then it has another image below. Why isn't it? No. Da-da-da-da. Right. And let me see here. deleted database. So those are the three main points. Karen Fan, the president, concludes, I am hopeful that we can constructively resolve these issues and questions without recourse to additional subpoenas or other compulsory process. To that end, I invite you and any other officers or employees of Maricopa County to include elections in the elections department who possess knowledge or information concerning the matter set forth above to a meeting at the Arizona State Capitol on Tuesday, May 18, 2021 at 1 p.m. in Hearing Room 109. Chairman Peterson, former Secretary Bennett, and I will attend the meeting, which will be live streamed to the public. Please let me know at your earliest convenience whether you accept my invitation, and if so, which Maricopa County personnel will attend. Thank you for your cooperation on these important issues of public concern. Respectfully, Karen Fain, Senator.
Howdy.
Hey.
So you do a great job. I'll just go ahead and mute myself, and you can finish out the show.
No, because I need you. I need that voice. I gotta have. Anyways, that's a letter that was actually sent to the supervisors in Maricopa County by the president of the Senate in the state Senate. All pretty official. And I mean, it's hard to get around that, you know. Arizona, they say Biden won by, 10,000 odd votes. There's a lot of discrepancies, and the three things that they're asking about does not contain any vote totals. You know what I mean? So we still, even by that letter, we have no idea how many, same signature things they found. But I know they found some. They have no idea how many, unfolded ballot that should have been creased in two spots to fit in an envelope.
Yep.
Stuff like that. So we have no idea what they've found. And that was probably, that's the relevant portion of the letter. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read enough to.
Yeah. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. Hey, if it's okay with you, we have a caller.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah. The area code looks familiar, but I'm not too sure, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring this person in. Area code 612, welcome to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. How you doing?
Doing just great.
Who do we got?
Yeah, what's your name?
Yeah, my name is Mike. My name is Mike. I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
You've called in before, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, a while ago, a couple months back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mike from Minneapolis.
Yes, I remember. He was the one that made the reference.
Yeah, it was a good call.
The reference about the overweight people.
Yeah. Fat
which
people
we,
in poverty.
Which we hold on to
I do. I used it the other day as a reference. So thanks, Mike. What you got today, Mike?
No, I just want to talk about how the 2020 election, even though it was obviously stolen and there was all type of shady stuff going on, I think in now looking back, it's actually been a blessing in disguise for us on the right. Because if this had not happened, let's say Trump had won, I don't think we would be able to see the potential for what we could achieve compared to where we're at now versus what we could do in 24, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, that's a real good way to look at it. What you think about that, Dave?
Yeah, I'm about to just kind of spill my diarrhea of the mouth here. Just here's my initial reaction to that is you are absolutely correct as long as there is no H.R. 1 that gets passed and signed into law.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Ha ha. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. If there's no H.R. 1, and then some of these other states, you know, they kind of beef up instead of going with H.R. 1, which says, you know, oh, anybody can vote. You can vote from around the world. If they tidy up their election process and throw in some fraud safeguards, you know, common sense, you know, show an ID, have an address, you know, have a reason for your absentee. You know, we'll mail you one. We don't need to mail them to everybody. There's no COVID. That's what they used last time. But if that other one goes through, if HR 1 somehow slides through, I hope it doesn't. I can't imagine. Then we will never see what we're seeing now. And there'll be nothing that anybody can do. And it'll be, you know, North Korea from my point of view. So that's the only caveat I have with you, Mike, is yes, all things being equal, we would never have known the depth of the corruption that is going on all the time. But now we're able to see, you know, a little ankle here and there, you know, peel a layer back and peel a layer back. But like I said, if they ever pass that HR 1, that's game. So,
yes. And you know, it's a good thing because the last activity on HR 1 was March 11th. So there hasn't been any movement as far as HR 1 is concerned.
But it's still there.
Yes. However, we need to be concerned because it was passed in the House. So.
Right. Yeah, they can't get it past Manchin. That's the problem. That's their thing that's holding them back.
Right.
He's
thank God.
The one conservative Democrat left, so that's why. But the reason I brought up the point was, and I agree with you about H.R. 1, just think about where the Republican Party was, say, 10 years ago compared to now, in just the situation we were in. So
right.
We had rhinos all throughout the party on every level. And it was just like, it was this massive uphill battle just to get rid of the rhinos and get Republican voters to actually be informed and understand how to discern between a rhino and an actual conservative.
You're talking about the Tea Party days.
Yeah, back then, exactly.
Yep,
and
yep.
It looked like it was mission impossible. Like, it looked like back then I genuinely thought we'll never do it because they were so entrenched in the establishment. You fast forward to today,
yep.
You got Liz Cheney just getting kicked out.
Yep.
You get Mitt Romney getting booed in Utah. And it's so amazing to see for the first time in my lifetime as far as being involved in politics that conservatives are engaged and informed and can clearly discern between a rhino and a legit Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing to see the rhinos all getting called out. I mean, this was unthinkable 10 years ago. So just that alone is a massive victory. Then you throw in the fact that all the stuff that conservatives warned in the election that the Democrats would do, that people in the middle dismissed as crazy, you know, Republican talking points, is all being validated. Gas prices through the roof. The border is being just flooded. I mean, it's unbelievable what we're seeing. You got the Middle East is back on fire again after Trump was signing peace deals left and right. I mean, everything's going to shit. The cost of food is skyrocketing thanks to the inflation. So, like, everything that was warned that everyone in the middle didn't accept because they were caught up in their anti-Trump emotions that blinded their judgment. Now we're being validated. And I know so many people now who are in the middle or who are leaning that went for Biden that now are completely back over. And they're like, we're voting Republican in the midterms or we're voting for Trump in 2024.
Yeah.
So this is setting us up for a big, like you said, as long as HR 1 doesn't happen, I think this is going to set us up for a massive midterm landslide and just a dominant victory in 2024. It'll be a layup. And this time when Trump comes back in, by the way, unlike 2016, when he was surrounded by incompetent, weak, feckless Republicans that were scared and were worried about the Russian collusion investigation, now you'll have legit Republicans that are emboldened and realize that if you stand up and fight, you'll win, you know, voters over and people will respect you. it'll be a different Republican Party he'll be leading in 24, and he'll actually be able to do his entire agenda. So I think this is all going to work out in the end.
Well, I love it. I love your thinking. The only shovel smashing me in the face is Mitch McConnell still. You know, I mean, you can get all those ducks in a row, and now, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so what's wrong? I mean, I hate to do this. I'm always being the devil's advocate type of thing. But, you know, hitting me like a shovel in the face is the fact that Mitch McConnell also hates Trump. Even though Trump gave his wife the transportation department job, and you know, and then he still stabbed him in the back. You know, oh, that's politics. I'm sure that's how they justified it. But I mean, are we going to get rid of him too?
You think he's going to be there in 24? I don't know. I don't think McConnell's going to be there in 24. I don't think he'll last that long. I mean, he looks in really bad health. I don't even know if he'll be around by then. I don't say that in a. I'm just being honest. I don't think he's going to be there.
All right. Thank you.
He is looking a little rough.
Yeah, a little peaked. So all right. So who else do we have to worry about? I mean, in your scenario, Liz Cheney.
No, I think we're set up great. I mean, think about it. Like with Manchin in West Virginia basically halting most of their agenda because they can't get anything through past him. We're in a good holding pattern until the midterms, and then the midterms comes. We're clearly going to take the House back, and I'm pretty confident we'll get the Senate as well. But at the very least, as long as we get the House, that's it. That we turn off the faucet, they can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then we're just in a holding pattern until 24, and then we'll just – I think we're going to destroy them. I don't think they have a chance. And I think they know it, by the way. I don't think the Democrats are that confident that they're going to win in the next two elections.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Biden and his status right now. You could take the Colonial Pipeline thing as an example. If Trump was there, that would not have happened. And we're dealing with that here. I'm in Georgia, and we're dealing with that. A lot of the South is dealing with this gas shortage. So if Trump was in office, they never would have had the Colonial Pipeline. And Biden, he goes, okay, at first, when it first happened, they said, well, we think Russia has something to do with it. And then Biden goes, I talked to Putin, and he said to me, no, we had nothing to do with it. And I believe him. I just had to laugh. If Trump was there, that would not have happened. So I think Mike is right, and we're turning the tide here, and I think the 2024 elections will prove to be our up and coming. I'm a little shaky about getting the House back. I think we can do it. I'm still a little shaky about that.
Well, why are you shaky about it? I mean, the Republicans did great in 2020. I mean, look how many seats they won when they were expected to lose a whole bunch of seats.
Right. That is true.
That is true. They would have done better. But the only reason they didn't do any worse was because all those fake ballots only came in with one. Just the top of the ticket picked.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't think of the whole thing.
They did not think it through. Hey, Mike, I got a question for you. Are you involved with Blog Talk Radio beyond calling into shows? I mean, do you have a show?
No, I don't have a show.
Oh, all right. If somebody wanted to, like, you know, get in touch with you, how would they do that if you're open to something like that?
No, nothing really. I'm not really on social media or anything like that.
No. Okay. Okie doke. All right. Well, I mean, I thought it was such a great caller. I'd like to, you know, if I can include you, or at least, you know, shoot you a a link to the show and give you a chance to give us a call. It's, you know what I mean?
I'm definitely listening. I love you guys. Show you guys have one of the best shows on the platform. So
wow.
I'm always listening.
Well, still on page 7, by the way. So, but we appreciate it. I'm just trying to. Hey, by the way, is that ding coming through my thing? Because I'm hearing a ding on my end. And are you guys hearing it?
No.
All right, good.
No, we're not hearing it.
All right, good.
We're not hearing a ding.
All right. It's a little text thing. People are in a text chain. So now there's like 4 or 5 people. Ding, 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 ding. So, but anyways, Mike, I just we appreciate it. And I want to, as much as possible, include you in whatever we're doing. So I just, there was a way we could get in touch with you. That'd be great. If not, that's fine. Just call in as you see fit, but whatever you do, we really appreciate it. Fantastic point of view.
Yeah,
very well spoken too. I mean, very
encouraging. Very
encouraging, informed. So you win the trifecta there, Mike.
Yeah,
because you guys notice that everyone's so pessimistic, and I'm like, I was looking at things, and it just seems like things are working out in a way that it wouldn't have worked otherwise, because no one believed us. I mean, think about it. Most people didn't believe us when we said that, Biden's really an actual radical progressive. He's not a moderate. People didn't believe it. They didn't believe he would flood the country and open the border, and that, we'd see all kind of radical policies being put in place, and they were going to jack taxes up. They didn't believe it. And now they see it for themselves. Oh, and the other thing, too, is the media. I have some people who contact me, like, who are saying, I didn't believe you about the whole media biasing, but now I see it, where Biden's getting a total pass on the very same thing they attacked Trump for.
Right.
Like the whole children in cages thing. Now it's all of a sudden they're being held in, detention facilities. The whole cage thing just went out the window. Even though we see him in pictures laying on the ground with aluminum suits in, like, pens, like, it's unreal. But I mean, if this had not happened, people in the middle would not believe us. Now the middle is coming back to us because it's been proven everything that we said. So if Trump had won, they would have still bought into the whole mainstream media hype and narrative. They would have went along with it and still believed it.
By the way, we call them the gaslight media henceforth.
Yes.
Because that's what they do.
I like calling them Pravda. That's what I really like.
Pravda, yeah.
Oh, by the way, have you guys, know about Project Veritas? Are you aware of them, James
O'Keefe? Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. You saw what he's doing to CNN and Twitter and the New York Times?
Yep. Yeah. I think I referenced him last week. Where he went in, was it last week or the week before? Because he went in, and then the CNN guy was going on and on about everything we already know. He was saying the quiet part out loud, and he got him on tape saying it. That was pretty cool.
Right, and the New York Times. He got the New York Times to admit in writing, in their defense of that defamation lawsuit he's got going, where they acknowledge that they're totally ignorant, they don't fact check their own sources, they don't actually verify whether what they're reporting is true or not. It's just empty opinion. That
right.
was in their defense. That's like that's oh my god.
That was that, that's what they used as a defense.
Yeah, that was their defense. They're claiming ignorance. It's unbelievable. And so now, it's just like we have actual think about it. 24 the type of ads that Trump can run. He has like a highlight reel, like a sports center. They could just run these ridiculous ads, just exposing what the left is, what the media is. 24 is going to be the easiest election since maybe Reagan for Republicans. It'll be a cakewalk.
I believe it too. I hope so. Let me see. I was caught wind of something that was I've been saving these little TikToks. And I can't remember who was can't remember the been saving a lot of Maricopa County things, but yeah, there's different things in there. I mean, there's still crazy people on there that say, you know, Alex Jones stuff, you know, like there's going to be an announcement at 9:30 p.m. tonight, and Trump is going to call martial law, and he's going to be, you know, they're going to be arresting these things. Okay, all right, got it. I don't think so, but yeah. Here's one. Comey sings like a canary after watching Clinton hang. I don't think he did. I don't think she did. that's too far out there.
Yeah, it's way too far out there.
There was a point on one of the
That whole QAnon thing is similar to the whole alt-right movement we saw back in 2016, which is, you know, the left and I think the deep state to a certain degree got involved in putting that stuff out there in the first place as sort of like a, I don't know if you want to call it a Trojan horse or whatever, but something they could use against us to show, oh, look at these crazy people and what they believe and all that, and trying to make us out to be a bunch of racists and all that. That's all they do. They just set the stuff up to, you know, but we all know that's not, conservatives don't believe that most. I mean, that's like maybe what, 5% of people that voted for Trump at the most.
If that, yeah.
That I should be reading QAnon. So,
right.
But the media tries to make it look like
right.
90% of us believe
right.
this crap.
And we're all white supremacists, and all, you know.
Right.
When that's like, some of my best friends are black.
I hate you.
I had to put that one in there. Because that's like, people think that works. I clench my teeth, you know, when you know, the old friends on Facebook and stuff, they've been like, for the past 4 years, I mentioned this, they have been spraying me with hatred, you know, because I support Trump. And they would just six, seven, eight times a day, they would throw a stupid, just a meme, you know, a ridiculous meme. That's not true. It's just meant to you know, support the narrative. And all of them, it's like driving through a puddle, and I'm standing there, and they just spray it right over me. It's a puddle of hate, and they just keep driving through it right next to me. And they spray it on me, straight on me. And then when I say something, oh, well, I didn't mean you. Oh, okay. All right. It's too late.
Yeah.
It's because they're cowards, man. Most people who are liberal today in America, they're liberal out of cowardice. It's like back in high school. Remember, people like just wanted to fit in, and they were afraid to stand out because of, you know, the peer pressure and everything. That's all it is, man. They're just cowardly. That's it. You know, and most of these people, if you really talk to them, they don't even agree with most of the Democrats' policies. They'll acknowledge that it's stupid, and that they're dumb ideas, but they're just afraid to get, you know, they don't want the pushback, so they just go along with things. They just go with the current.
And brings me that's a fantastic segue into one of the things that I've been kind of noodling with lately, and I thought about bringing it on. I had some other points on this, but it's a page I started on Google Documents, and here's the title of the page: For Yourself. And if you know, I
thought you were going to call it like white people that acknowledge white guilt or some kind of collective guilt.
No. But I'm trying to come up with, I don't know if it's a flow chart or just a checklist or something that you can kind of try and convince people who would normally argue talking points with me to think for themselves. Okay, like I said before, you don't have to agree with everything that I believe, but you do bloody well have to think for yourself. And here's a couple of things that you can do on how to think for yourself. Number one, grievances that you become aware of, are they presented firsthand or on behalf of another person or group. Because if it's on behalf of someone else, then they're agitators. They're just
right.
trying to get somebody riled up. We've talked about this one, voting, voter ID is racist. Well, here's how you think for yourself on that. Have I ever voted? Answer. Was it difficult? Answer. Who would have difficulty doing what I did? And careful, don't sound racist. here's a partisan test. Simple. Reverse the party's affiliation on any policy and see if you would react the same way. Be honest. You know, these are just questions that they're kind of rhetorical, but you have to answer them yourself. You know what I mean? Don't answer them to me. You ask these questions of yourself and answer them. You know, do the work, do the thinking, do the research.
The hard part, though, is that last thing that you said, be honest.
Be honest.
Yeah. That's the hard part because they can't.
Here's another – I know they can't because they're blinded. But I'm going to keep going. If all left-wing or if all right-wing activists got everything they wanted, what would it look like? And just try to – and you know what I mean? Try to imagine.
Police state, that's what it looked like.
Well, right. So here's another one. Which is better? Being treated as an individual or stereotyped as part of a group. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
We've always known about talking points. They wash them through a focus group. Just when you hear a talking point, it's designed to evoke an emotion, a word picture. And an emotion. So if you just simply ask, okay, what does it mean? What do you mean by that? What does that mean? And then just dig in and try and find out what that means. Usually it's so absurd that the talking point is not something that would ever really happen. It's just such an absurdity that is meant to just sway people, towards the narrative. But that's what I got so far for thinking for yourself. And I thought of a couple others, but I didn't write them down fast enough, so I can't remember them now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm open for suggestions. If you have an idea on how to get somebody to think for themselves, I'll put it on the list.
Take a wiffle ball bat to him.
You should put like a little qualifier before it and say that anyone who drinks soy lattes and has a major in lesbian dance theory, don't even waste your time. I grab up.
Well, in fairness, this type of activity does not attract that type of person. But your point is well taken, Mike.
Oh. Now, you know the one thing, it doesn't worry me, but it's bothersome. The fact of the matter that if it wasn't for COVID, it would be a completely different situation right now. But you have to admit that Biden has benefited from the COVID, the whole ordeal. Even though, you know, the vaccine rollout was Trump's doing, he's taking credit for it. But Biden is getting good marks because of the rollout and how it's been covered, because it's an emotional thing. It's an emotional thing. And people are very, very emotional right now because of COVID. And, you know, clearly people have passed because of COVID and things like that. So there's a lot of emotions rolling around with that, and because of that, he's getting good marks as if he's doing a good job, which, I mean, we all know that he's not. But
he's got a 70% approval in some of these things.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. But that goes to what Mike's saying is that kind of slobbering over him is being noticed by some people that even may have voted for him. Now wait a minute. Is that oatmeal on his loafers? I mean,
but the question is, will that be enough? Yes, there are some people that are turning the corner, but will it be enough?
It's going to be a landslide.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, like, how many people do you know that are, would you classify as, like, an independent that's genuinely in the middle, that was sort of like, could have went either way in this last election?
Not many,
because of the media, but.
Right. Well, I mean, I know a lot of people like that, and maybe it's because of the state I live in where a lot of people are kind of in the middle anyway, but
mm-hmm.
most of them that went for Biden now are, like, completely flipped, where they're like, all the stuff you were saying about what the Democrats wanted to do, which I dismissed at first, you know, now I see you were right. It's true. And they said in 22 they're going to vote Republican. Same in 24.
Yeah.
You know, and there was no way we could have
most of the people I knew were either dead set for or dead set against. You know, I didn't know any people that were like, well, you know, I think he's this and I think he's that. And then I could go either way. I didn't know anybody in my sphere of affiliations that discussed being, you know, in the middle and could have gone either way. Most of the people because of the way we interact, you know, it's pretty clear, and you know, some of the things that they roll their eyes on, you know, you got to kind of look for subtle clues on which, you know, which way they go. But there's not anybody that I knew that wasn't decided one way or the other.
Right.
So good for you for turning people.
Yeah, you just got to remember Trump got 10 million more votes than he got in 16. And he got something like between 7 and 12% increases amongst all different minority groups and women.
Right.
Which had no Republican has done since Reagan. So, I mean, and again, like we said, we all in agreement that there's no way Biden got 80 million. There's no way a guy that has the charisma of a weapon got 80 million. There's no way.
Yeah.
that was impossible. I can't believe they went. I mean, to me, they could have made it more believable and maybe, you know, have him get like maybe 500,000 more than Trump. But to give him 80 million now, they overplayed their hand. That's why the whole thing is just, you can clearly see they finesse the situation. But anyway, they don't have the mail-in vote with the unsolicited ballots and the ballot harvesting. You take that away, there's no way they're going to get to 70 million. It's impossible.
Right.
Unless, of course, they use this whole, you know, illegal immigration situation we got now to try to manufacture votes and all that. That, you know, that's one wild card that they could use that might.
Well, that's what's in the HR1. They talk about individuals voting, not citizens. Individuals means anybody that's, you know, walking around. Legal or illegal.
They're going to let illegals vote? Are you serious?
No. Well, if they pass H.R. 1, yes. Because that refers to... That's what I'm saying. That refers to voters as individuals and not citizens.
Right.
It's a specific language thing that they put in there. I know.
Isn't it amazing how, like, shamelessly they try to grab power?
It is.
That if Republicans attempted the same thing, like the way we would get called out for it.
Oh,
like the fact
you're
trying to send a state Could you imagine if Republicans are like, okay, so to gain two more Senate seats, let's split up Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, South Carolina, just make them into, like, break them apart so we can gain a bunch of Senate seats. These Democrats, man, you see, well, this is what happens when you got the media on your side. You can get away with stuff like that.
You can get
and
away
no one
with
ever
it.
Calls them on it.
You can get away with calling nominating Supreme Court justices as a Republican packing the court. They call that
right.
Packing the court. So then that justifies them adding four more seats.
Right. Oh, my God. It's so crazy, man. And I always say, like, whenever you talk to a Democrat about it, I'm like, could you imagine, how would you react if Republicans were like, you know what, we need to add four more conservative seats to the Supreme Court? And they just lose their mind. They go nuts. And I'm like, okay, so what are you guys doing? Oh, what we're doing is about justice and equity. I'm like, all right. They can't even see it themselves. That's what blows me away. They can't see the double standard.
That's my partisan test. Reverse the party's affiliation on any policy to see if you would react the same way. ... Be honest. You know, that's exactly the thing that you just mentioned as far as, well, you know, if the conservatives said, okay, yeah, we need four more conservative seats because you just got three liberal nominees in a row. See, it never works the other way, and it'll never work. And then, like you said, the media backs them up. They just ladle it on and cover it up. And oh no, this is normal. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. But there was did you guys see the Bret Baier, Liz Cheney interview? I think from yesterday or the day before.
No.
Oh, if you get a chance, go to YouTube and check it out. He absolutely grilled her, like, and left her looking so – I mean, she was visibly pissed off by the end. You could tell. He really got at her. I mean, I was surprised. I didn't think Bret Baier would do something like that. But that was a great interview if you get a chance to check it out.
Yeah, Bret Baier is usually pretty mild. So, yeah,
oh,
if he did that.
By the way, I there's some other breaking news. COVID is over. What are you laughing at? What?
I wasn't aware that it even began, but apparently now it's over, right?
No. The president, he got on there and said that you don't have to wear a mask if you've been vaccinated, and until you're vaccinated, you still need to wear the mask. Oh, okay. But that's what they've said. The CDC has put out new guidelines regarding masks, and it has to
right.
do with whether or not you're vaccinated. And I put it on Facebook. Remember, I put it on Facebook probably two or three months ago. I was like, so if you're waiting for somebody to tell you that COVID is over, that's never going to happen. And because right now they've got you right where they want you and
yeah.
they have the power. So I think what went on was the polling numbers came in regards to this. So they said, oh, well, okay, then I guess we'll let them take the masks off. but only if they've been vaccinated and it's still.
Right.
You know, it's still kind of like a Starbelly Sneetches type of thing, because now you have people saying, well, how will I know if somebody's not just lying and say, you know, without a mask? It's still the Starbelly Sneetches and from Dr. Seuss.
You already know what they want to do. They want the yellow stars like they had the Jews do in the Holocaust, right? They want to be able to, you know, we got psychopaths that are trying to run our country. That are legit crazies that want to, like, control us like we're slaves, man. I don't understand anymore how people can't see the Democrats for what they are. I mean, think about the fact that Texas and Florida are wide open. There's no lockdown. You can do whatever you want now down there.
Yep.
And you got
yeah.
states like California, Michigan, New York that are still, it's like a giant prison. you can't do anything.
Yeah, because they even after the president said all that, New York, I think, and Chicago, oh, no, New York and New Jersey, they're like, yeah, we're not going to lift our mask mandate.
Yeah.
They're never going to. I guarantee, I'm willing to bet 5 years from now, California will still require you to wear a mask indoors. I guarantee it. I don't think they'll ever let it go.
Yeah, you're right. See, that's that thing where they're tapping into your emotions. That's all the Democrat Party is about. They try to tap into your emotions and heighten everything. Oh, people are going to die if you don't wear your mask.
That's about
you're
as drastic
die.
As it gets.
Yeah. So yeah, they're just two emotions, and like I said, because of the fact of the matter that you've had people passing from COVID. Well, we don't really know that because they related everything in the COVID. You get into a car crash. Well, did he have a cough? Yeah, he had COVID. He died from COVID. No, he died from a car crash. But yeah,
they had a financial incentive. I got a friend of mine whose wife got diagnosed with cancer.
Yep.
And the doctors had told her that she had a short amount of time to live. And then they spoke to her husband, you know, separately, privately, and they asked him that if she were to pass away, can they mark it down as a COVID death? They asked him straight up.
Wow.
Dude, this whole thing, I'm telling you, it may not happen until Judgment Day that we ever find out all the stuff that really went down with this stuff. But they manufactured this entire thing worldwide with one goal and one goal only. One was to get rid of, shut down nationalism all across the world because they were losing their grip. They saw what happened in the UK and Brazil and Italy and France and Eastern Europe and America with Trump, and they were panicking, and they realized that if they didn't do something to intervene, the globalists were going to lose their control and, you know, their agenda and everything they were trying to pull off. So
right.
In their words, they needed the Great Reset. They got the Great Reset, and that's what they used the pandemic for. And how, you know, I don't know how anyone still believes this is a legit thing that we're dealing with here. Because, you know, have you ever heard about the placebo effect?
Oh, yeah.
And how
right.
If you people certain things, it can cause them to think certain ways. So I had what you could call COVID-like symptoms before everything was being reported way back in, like, December of 19. And I didn't know anything. I thought it was just like a flu or pneumonia or whatever. And I just think to myself, if I had thought what COVID was and what everything that was being reported just a few months later, I might have thought worse of it, and maybe the conditions got worse because I had, you know, in my mind I'm thinking this might be a death sentence and everything. I just think that that's a real effect to over-exaggerate something. And then the last part is they clearly made this. That's the other thing. Have you heard of the guy, what's that professor from Evergreen, the guy who got ran out because the crazy woke students thought that he was a racist because he refused to skip a day on campus for all the white people to leave. What was his name? Weinstein? No, yeah, Weinstein or Winstein, whatever. It was Brett Weinstein. He was on
Brett Weinstein's
podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Bill Maher's show. So he's an epidemiologist, and he was able to break down what the virus is and how, you know, viruses naturally evolve from the transition from animals to humans. And he was able to get technical with it and basically show that none of the markers are there to show a natural evolutionary process happening. And he talked about how the virus itself literally is designed to be able to spread indoors and not outdoors. And he said, if this was a naturally developed virus, why would it only be able to spread indoors and not outside? And he just went into, like, you know, he had an interview with Bill Maher, I think, where he really broke it down. But in his opinion, he said he's 95% sure this is a man-made virus.
Right.
You know, and this is coming from a professional, you know, like an expert in the field. So you just put two and two together. It's obviously man-made.
There was a
clear agenda behind it, and they pulled it off. So, I mean, to me, you have to be willing to accept the fact that you bought into the propaganda if you think this was a real pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they.
I never really bought into it. Yeah. So here's a headline from Inside Higher Ed. Inside Higher Ed. Evergreen professor received $500,000 settlement in 2017. September 18, 2017. Students were protesting racism on campus, although Brett Weinstein, the professor who they called to be fired, filed his $3.85 million suit. That's just a quick Google thing on Brett Weinstein. But you know what I was looking for? Because I was listening to, this is funny, I was listening to Levin today, and he was talking about what's going on in Israel and Hamas. But now the lefties are kind of sticking up for Hamas and the Palestinians. And the Palestinians, need a two-state solution or final solution or whatever it is. Who was it that I'm trying to find it. Ilhan Omar said that Israel needs to return what's the dispute? The Golan or something? Return the Golan Heights to the indigenous people. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. They're already there. I mean, they're Jews. They've been there for 3,000 years. I was cracking up.
Man, Palestinians are some made-up people. Return it to the indigenous people. They're already there.
Okay, thank you. Yep, thank you. Thank you. Got it. I promise we'll do that. You can go home now.
Oh. It is just insane the lengths that they'll go. And you guys heard about the AOC argument between the representative from Georgia and AOC. And AOC said that she was attacked and she felt like she was in harm's way.
Yeah,
and all it was.
Threatened.
Yeah, she felt
just
threatened.
To be challenged to debate a policy. My God, man! I mean, this is who we're dealing with here.
Yeah, and
the problem is
she doesn't stay down. She keeps getting smashed in the face with a shovel, and then she'll get back up and she'll do a YouTube video. You know, where no one can really. Dispute what she's saying. She does a YouTube video and she has all these people watching. Yeah. You know, and then as soon as she interacts with somebody, boom, hit in the face with a shovel. She goes down. And then the next day she's on YouTube blaming Trump, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Cut me, Mick. Cut me.
You thought about that, what's the name? The congresswoman you're referring to, listen, starts with an M. What is it? Marjorie something? Taylor Greene or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, she's a Georgia girl.
You saw what she did with the Democratic congresswoman across the hall from her office that put that trans flag up? And she put up a sign saying there's only two genders. Trust the science. That was hilarious, man. I like her. That woman is a legitimate gangster. I got to give it to her. Of all the Republicans I've seen in the House, her, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, I'm trying to think who else. There's like a handful of them that like are always getting into it with the Democrats all the time.
Yeah, she's a firecracker. I like her. I like her a lot.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Good. It's good that we have those. We got to just try and recruit some more and primary these other ones out.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I've seen a little inkling of it, but I'm hoping that Kelly Loeffler is going to run again against Raphael Warnock and just kick him out of office. I'm hoping that she does. Kelly Loeffler,
Pardon me? Is it because her eyes look in two different directions, or what's the deal?
No, I think when she was a Georgia senator, I think she did a pretty good job. And I don't think Raphael Warnock needs to be there.
She's got the personality of a cardboard, box or something.
She does.
He's terrible. So, and the other guy's even worse. He's a total stiff, man.
Oh, yeah. Jeez,
well,
you said
what was the name of that? Purdue?
Yeah, you said he was like a dish rag or something.
He lost to a full blown communist in Georgia. Like, Yeah. You got to be a special kind of, like, terrible politician to lose to somebody like that in that conservative of a state. That, I don't know, man. To me, you lose something like that, you shouldn't get a second chance.
Now, G's Key, correct me if I'm wrong. The Democrat won there under the existing election rules that were there for the 2020 election. Is that right?
Right, yes.
They hadn't changed anything since the 2020 election.
Right. That was a shoot. They lost.
Oh, yeah. Because
they
got the new law now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The new Jim Crow law. Yeah. You know the one.
Right. Okay. So you from Georgia or are you?
I live here. I've been here for 20-something years. I'm originally from New York, but yeah.
Okay.
I've been living in Georgia for 20-something years now.
All right. So you think that she's got a pretty good shot then if they run it back in, what, 24?
I don't think that she has a pretty good shot. I would hope that she would run. I think when she lost because she had a really, really bad team. Her team led her in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah. Warnock couldn't believe he won. Warnock looked like OJ when he got that not guilty verdict. You saw his face? He couldn't believe it. Kidding me?
You are exactly correct. You are exactly correct. But at the same time, the same thing that Trump was dealing with, both Perdue and Kelly Loeffler dealt with that. I think Kelly Loeffler's her loss was legit. Perdue's, I'm not so sure because Ossoff has ran a couple times, and Perdue has waxed them every single time. What changed that last one? Well, we know what changed, but
a lot changed.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what did it.
Yeah,
just look at Ossoff and Warnock. You got a communist, and you got a guy who, at the nicest, you could call him effeminate. Okay, that's the nicest way to put it.
Yeah,
and how those two guys managed to win in a state like Georgia, which is supposed to be a legitimate ruby red state. Come on, man. They only got that because of the steal. They know what they did. They chose a state where you had dumb Republicans who were bought out. Because let's be real, the Secretary of State was paid off. We already know the deal. He got the money from Dominion. Kemp might have got some money. We're not sure about that. We know the Lieutenant Governor definitely got money on his table. So they know what they did. They chose specific areas, and that's where they were to pull it off, man. And how anyone believes that election is legit is beyond me.
Right.
I mean, because the Ossoff guy, I mean, there's no way that woman that's with him is legitimately with him. That guy is 100% a fact. There's no way around that.
I always thought that from the first time that I seen him.
You could tell. He got the limp wrist and everything, man. You could just even I saw him one time walking across the stage. The dude had a switch in his stride, man. It was unbelievable.
That's funny.
Oh yeah. He's not lying though. He's not lying.
I know.
And I mean, his wife, she's not a beauty queen, but she's a pretty respectable chick.
Well, they don't even sleep in the same room. Come on now, stop it.
They don't. We know that. Yeah. They don't. Yeah, but it was because of the steal. They had the run. They initially, when the election came around, the steal was in, and then they ended up having a runoff, and they just amped up the steal. And that's why there are people here in Georgia complaining now, because of the new voting laws, the voting integrity laws that have been put in place. They're complaining because, there were, because of COVID, the whole ballot box thing came out, and there were, I mean, ballot boxes everywhere, and these things were not secure at all.
You're talking about drop boxes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had these drop boxes. Yeah, they were everywhere, and they weren't secure at all. And see, here's the thing. Now, months and months and months and months and months before all of this, the post office, their drop boxes away here in Georgia because they were people were stealing stuff out of them, breaking into them, and all this other stuff. And the post office said, hey, we can't keep these things secure, so we're just going to stop using them. They even had a drop box in front of the post office, and this thing was broken into.
That gave them the narrative, and I remember this because people were asking me about it because I work at the post office, the post office was pro-Trump because now they started moving their – taking out their drop boxes so that, you know, people didn't have a place to vote.
Right.
They said they were moving their, you know, just their regular mailboxes, too. They, you know, they're taking them out so that – and they said Trump had them do that. That was their narrative that they made up.
Right.
I'm like, no, matter of fact, they have a whole program of, you know, how much volume does this box produce? If it doesn't meet this, then guess what? We're going to move it to another area where it would, you know, so that's
right.
a normal box maintenance activity that was going on.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, think about the fact that they were caught on tape. Like, you saw that video, right, of when they the county area they had at the Hawks Arena in downtown Atlanta, where they were pulling out the cases after they claimed that there was a water line.
From under the tables, yeah.
Right, so the video comes out, and then you have the so-called Republican Secretary of State come out, break it down, and act like there's nothing to see here. You know, in my opinion, the Republicans in Georgia got so embarrassed. They got shamed into having to make that quote-unquote Jim Crow bill because they knew what happened. They got totally played. And it was, I mean, come on. Everyone saw what they did. And they literally tried to tell us, oh, no, there's nothing to see here. You know, that wetness you feel on your head. No, we're not pissing on you. It's just rain. And it just, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I just, when I saw that and I saw them get away with that, the fact that we caught them red-handed, and they still get away with it? Come on, man. At that point, I was on board with what they did in January 6th. I kind of felt like I needed to take a shotgun down to D.C. myself. I was like, you got to be kidding me. The Democrats can, if the Democrats can get away with crime on tape, and literally, I lost it at that point.
Don't forget, that was back when the narrative was if you say the election was tampered or stolen, that's inciting an insurrection. And
yep.
That's what happened.
Yep.
All right.
Back when that was
the
going
same
on.
People that said 2016 was illegitimate and Trump was an illegitimate president.
Oh, I know. For 4 years. I know. They said that for 4 years. All right. So listen, folks, we're gonna take a quick break. It's a little past top of the hour here, but we're gonna hit some promos just to kind of keep our format going on. And we'll catch you on the other side. Don't go anywhere there, Mike. You're doing fantastic, and you're carrying the show, by the way. So we'll be right back.
He just dropped off. We'll be right back.
Yeah, he
dropped off. Hopefully he'll call back. You are listening to the Dave and G Ski Rock Show right here on Airwaves America. We will be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
We can create a million new manufacturing jobs in the next 4 years. If you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together.
Imagine the breakthroughs that are on the horizon. And just beyond.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place.
Mama, are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
It's literally around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which hunger is vanquished by crops that don't depend on the soil, water, or fertilizer, or pesticides to thrive.
Are we there yet?
They're just around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which nations no longer depend on nuclear weapons for their defense.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
I am Conor McGregor, multiple weight MMA champion. I'm a fighter and I've been through many battles in the octagon. Many consider my fights in the octagon heroic. But the real life heroes are those men and women who fight to protect us every day. The real life fighters, the real life heroes, are the firefighters and police officers. These first responders are true heroes, because these brave men and women put themselves in the line of danger every single day protecting us all. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation ensures that first responders from fire, EMS and police departments who are killed in the line of duty with young children have a home without the burden of a mortgage. They are my heroes. They need our help today. I'd like to ask you to join me in donating $11 a month to support their efforts. Your $11 a month honors and supports our first responders. Please call now at 1-844-BRAVEST or visit tunneltotowers.org.
Welcome back to the show. We want to thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody for tuning in. Real quick, if you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. So
I guess,
there you go.
I guess I forgot all that you, earlier.
Yeah. And all you got to do is hit the one on your dial pad, and that'll let us know that you have something to say. and it's all good. Hey, before we move on, Dave, I just wanted, is it okay if I play the Bacon Zone song?
I played it last week, so yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard it in a long time, and I just got to play the Bacon Zone song because you did a great job on that song. I'm not going to mute the mics or nothing, like, so, but I just got to play the Bacon Zone song because I love it so much.
That's why I uploaded it for you, big boy.
There you go. So, everybody, you probably heard it last week, but you're going to hear it again. This is the Bacon Zone song.
Good evening.
Makes me smile every time.
Well, I used to eat bacon, 'cause I like the way it tastes. Now I eat it for jihadis, just to say bacon, rolled in bacon bits, and I do that to kick off Ramadan, and I don't care if they like it or not, it offends them, it's in their Quran.
Yeah.
That's right, you ain't gonna take my bacon.
You see what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd rather you got over yourself, put an end to all this righteous indignation. Have some bacon and enjoy it. We can all get along and from war enjoy permanent vacation.
That's real good.
I know. Watches with gallons of bacon grease. Then worry about offending you. I'd rather eat bacon wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits off your Quran, open to 9-5.
Then worry about
song.
Who's there? Me,
just,
I kill you.
is just awesome. Now, my question is, how long did it take you to come up with all of that?
Well, I had the music is from a song from Weird Al Yankovic, which is
right.
Also hilarious. It's called One More Minute.
Yes,
then
I remember
spend
that song.
One more minute with you. So all
yes.
I did was just kind of replace the lyrics. And I don't know if I was on a – we were on a, like a family trip maybe to like Six Flags or something, which is like 3 hours away or something. And I just sat there with a notebook and giggling and writing down lyrics, you know, and then trying to fit the rhythm and all that. And then when I got back, I started, you know, got in the old garage band and probably a 25 track song, you know.
Yeah.
And I was doing at the time I was into doing a cappella covers. I've got another one up on YouTube. I did a cappella Some Nights by the group Fun. And
yeah.
that came out okay. That's still up there. And then I put this one up, and it was fun. It was fun working it all out.
Yeah, that definitely came together quite well. I love that. I love that. Love that. Love that. That is my joint.
To be clear, okay, there's nothing bad that the song says about Muslims. I am cracking on jihadis. There's a difference.
Right. Yes.
So.
Yes, very much so.
So anyways, I just need to put that out there.
Yeah.
So that's why I put it there for you. I knew you'd like it, and, you know, you can. I uploaded it, and all good.
Yeah, that made my day when I seen that. That made my day. Yeah, because my computer is not up. It hasn't been up in probably 7-8 years. It's sitting in my bedroom at the foot of my bed. And
what
I got
use,
all
a laptop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got all that stuff on there. I've been meaning to fire it up so I can just grab some of that stuff off of there. But, yeah, I haven't heard that in a long time. That was my joint.
Well, like I said last week, is you know, we had this because – and you liked it because your show at 2020 Radio, you referred to as you guys are in the bacon zone. And
yes,
I was like,
indeed.
Well – I was like, well, we may or may not adopt that phrase for this show. It's up to him, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. So you are in the bacon zone where the bacon comes in bunches.
Yeah. Now, yeah. With my interface that I'm using here, it's actually TC Helicon. Perform VK, which means it's meant to it's designed to accompany keyboardists. They have the Perform G, which is for guitar players. You plug your guitar in, and each chord you play will guide the harmonies of your voice if you so desire.
Right.
It'll stay in key. Well, the Perform VK. You can do that. Of course, you can do that, and it will track your chords that you're playing and harmonize your voice real time with what you're playing. But what I like about it, I can assign it a MIDI track because it has MIDI inputs, and it will play the note that thing, you know, because you know if you're playing a guitar or something, you can flub a chord. Well, that's going to do the same thing to your voice when you sing through, when you try to do it, or you know if you flub a chord on the piano. But the MIDI you've already done and you've there's nothing real time about the MIDI. It's going to sing. It's going to play the notes that you that is programmed for it to sing. And
right.
that's what I like about that, because it tracks that. That is the game changer. You know, it can, and I, if there's notes there, it'll do it. And if there's not, it'll just be the one voice. And when there's harmonies assigned, it'll do them, and it will reproduce whatever I'm saying as on those notes. And so I should probably redo the Bacon song, because that would make it sound a whole lot cooler. And it would be easier to do. Instead of doing, you know, five tracks for harmonies, I would just do one track and let the machine do it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. That's what
technology is something else.
Oh, unbelievable. I'm saving up my gig money for a new keyboard. It's like you go through, okay, yeah, I want to get this one. Okay, yeah, oh, that one does that. Okay, well, maybe I'll get that one, because that has this feature, and I think that would be cool, you know. And it's like you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. You know, I'm going to spend probably $2,000, you know, on an upgrade, because the one I've had, the one I have now, it's like probably 13 years old. I mean, cool. It's cool. It does a lot. But now I've got some broken buttons. I've had to take the thing apart and glue the little button pad, you know, and
yeah.
then put the thing back together. I've had this thing all apart and everything, you know. So, you know, it's like, okay, it's time to upgrade this thing, because this button doesn't really even work, you know, because of it. So I'm kind of looking at the Korg. I like Korg products. I have a Triton LE right now, and for a few years ago, the flagship was the Korg Kronos. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's quite the machine. The newest one is the Nautilus, but it doesn't have enough outputs for me. So I'm going to go with the Korg Kronos. It has a right and left output, and then it has 1, 2, 3, 4 assignable outputs. So if I need to isolate the bass guitar, I can send that to a separate track on the mixer. If I need to isolate the guitar that from the keyboard, I can isolate that. The drums, I can isolate that. So I think I'm going to go with the Korg Kronos, because it has a 16-track sequencer, which is what I use mostly. But what is so cool, I think, is it also has a 16-track audio recorder.
Oh, wow.
So if I want to do, you know, Build Me Up Buttercup, I could record in my voice doing all those other call and answer vocals and get away with it and have it for that song. I don't know. Again, I don't know exactly how it all works. Yeah, I would have to get it and play with it. You know, the learning curve is going to be, but
yeah.
But I you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at now. Korg Kronos.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool beans. Man, yeah. I could talk about that type of stuff all day.
Well, we got less than a half hour, so we could.
Yeah.
when I was doing the how to get a hold of us at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that you can get a hold of me but at Dave Graham Live, you know, and all that. I said I don't know if G-Ski has a DJ page or website or anything going on for that. If he wants you to know, he'll tell you.
Yes. There's two. I have the legitimate DJ business, which that one is Simmons Crew ENT.com. That's for Simmons Crew Entertainment, if you guys don't know. That's my last name. but yeah, Simmons Crew ENT.com. And then I have GSkiRocks.com. So you can go to GSkiRocks.com. There's a little bit of stuff up there, but not a lot. Yeah, those are two places that you can find me DJ-wise. And then I do have a Facebook, which that's... Oh, excuse me. That is GSkiRocks.com, but it's G-E-E SkiRocks.com. And that's me on Facebook.
Gotcha.
Everything else, it's just GSkiRocks. So Instagram, it's GSkiRocks. Twitter, it's GSkiRocks. Everywhere else, it's GSkiRocks. And you can find me there. GSkiRocks. Because G-Ski always rocks.
well done, young man.
Why, thank you, sir.
Yes, indeed. Hey, let me just revisit this. If you spent $1 a second, are you ready for this?
Yes.
If 1,000 seconds equals 16 minutes. Okay. A million seconds equals 11 days. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, 11 days. We'll do a billion seconds equals 31.709 years. A billion seconds, 31.709.
Wow.
A trillion seconds. So in other words, if you spent $1 a second to get to see how long it would take you to get to a trillion, it's 31,000 years. 31,709 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So if you're doing 2 trillion, it's going to be 62,000 years. If you're doing 3 trillion, et cetera. You see what I'm saying? Every trillion, you add 31,709 odd years.
Whew, good Lord.
A trillion. That's how big a trillion is. 31,000 years. Mankind hasn't been on the planet that long.
But somebody I know is spending that $1.9 trillion.
And
most of that doesn't have anything to do with COVID.
Okay, the guy most that you know that's spending $1.9 trillion has since spent another $2.7 trillion, and then after that spent another $3 point something. He's up to like $6 or $7 trillion dollars that he's trying to spend.
Good Lord.
Every one of those trillion would be 31,709 years if you spent $1 a second.
Jesus. Jesus.
That's a perspective.
Think about that.
I know. That's a perspective. 31,000 years. You know, how long have we been on the planet? You know, 3,000-4,000 years, maybe? Maybe 5? I'll give you five. 5,000 years we've been on the planet.
Yeah, that is something.
The reason I'm giving you five is because in the Bible, Adam and Eve lived to about 1,000 years old.
Right.
So, there's your first millennium. Everybody's lifespan got shorter since then. Abel didn't make it that anywhere near that long, because Cain.
Right. 31,000. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's almost dinosaur time, you know?
Yes, that's indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, and he's
Let me just keep going to see how many trillion or how big. Let me see how much it would take to get to. All right, so a trillion seconds is 31,709 years. If I add three more zeros, what is that? A quadrillion?
Something like that.
That's 31,709,791 years. Yeah.
That is a lot.
Because you have to go, if you do a quadrillion, you have to add, you know, from a trillion, you have to add like 998 trillion.
Jesus.
That's why. To get to a quadrillion. Yeah.
That's insanity.
But the main point is 1 trillion, which is 12 zeros. A one with 12 zeros.
Yes.
That 1 trillion seconds equals 31,709 years. 1 billion is 31.709 years. Okay. A billion seconds. If I go back one more, 1 million seconds is 0.031 calendar years. That means 0.38 months. 1 million seconds is about a week and a half. It's 11 days,
mm-hmm.
11 and a half days, 1 million seconds. Like I said, 1,000 seconds is 16 minutes.
That is crazy.
But you keep adding zeros.
And that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's what he's yep. doing. He's just adding zeros to all his crap. And like I said, most of what he speaks of is there's very little funding going to that. He's talking about infrastructure and COVID relief and all this other stuff. That makes up maybe 20% of that 1.9 trillion that he's trying to pass. Maybe 20%. All the rest of that is wasteful spending. That's all that
no,
is.
No, it's payoff to his supporters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Payoff to his supporters and stuff like that. I remember some years ago in one of the bills that Obama passed, one of the budgets, there was something like $1 million going to a teapot museum in, I believe, South Carolina. A teapot museum.
I wonder where it really went.
Yeah.
You know, because how does that benefit him? You know what I mean? When you look at it, you know, you're going to give money to people that benefit you. So
right.
you allocate money. Or you get Congress to allocate money to a teapot museum. It's got to be a front for something else. It's got to be something that benefits him in some way.
Yeah.
Because none of those people are just nice guys.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering where it really went. And you know how did he benefit? It must have been you know just a laundering type of thing, you know.
Yeah, there was a female senator. I don't remember her name at the moment. I believe it was a female senator, but yeah, that money didn't go to a teapot museum. That went somewhere else. But yeah, a laundering. Then there was something about the mating habits of gay Indians, feathered, not dot.
Yeah, but I don't remember that one.
Yeah. That was in the what did they call that back in the Obama days? The shovel ready thing that he had going on. I forgot the whole name of it, but yeah.
Well, we called it the Porculus, didn't we? The Porculus?
Yes, that's what we called it. Yeah,
yeah.
I forgot what the legit name was, but yeah, there was a lot. There was I had notebooks and notebooks of all the wasteful spending that they had up in there.
Right, that was back when we did show prep.
Yeah. Yes. Back when we did show prep. Hey, but it's working out though. It's working out. We have a no show prep system, and it's working.
Right. That's right. Mike's called twice, so thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. You're the man.
Yeah, and Suzette has called in a couple times.
Yeah, I actually put Suzette's name on my show notes to see to remind me to say, hey Suzette, give us a call. What's going on with Gavin Newsom?
Yeah. So, and her husband, what was his blog talk
name? That's Bigfoot.
No, it wasn't Bigfoot. It's can't remember. I can't remember.
Well,
it's not Bigfoot.
Now they're going to have to call because Suzette, as I understood it, was Bigfoot's wife.
No, it was. Dang it! I can't remember what his doggone name was. I forgot what it was. I can't remember it right now. It was a Bigfoot, though.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Bring It Boy. Yeah, that was it.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah, Bring It Boy.
All right. Sorry about that. I got the bees mixed up. You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's my fault.
Yeah, Bigfoot's not
boy.
Married. Yeah, Bigfoot's not married.
All right. Sorry. Bringing It Boy is Suzette's hubby. I'm not married. Got it. Thank you. Sorry, Bigfoot. Oh, shit.
It's all good.
Well,
all
Bringing
good.
It Boy isn't here. But we Bringing It Boy.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. That was my fault. See, we really are just two a-holes just popping off. I got that wrong.
You're good, though. You're good. I'm going to have to kill my German Shepherd here in a second. He keeps on messing with me.
He does? All right. Look,
yeah.
What do we got? We got 11 minutes left. Okay.
Well, yeah, we got 11 minutes. Plenty of time to do what we need to do.
Yeah, I don't know why. What's my... The one that I called in on is the time is shifting back and forth. I don't know. I thought it was saying, "Oh, hey, who?" All right. Anyways. All right. Sorry, Bigfoot. I apologize. Anyways, in any case, I remember now.
Yeah, it's all good. We're family here. We're family here. We do good things.
Can we get Bigfoot to call in? I mean, he comes to all our shows. Let's have him give a call and let's hear his voice and put a voice to a name and show our appreciation for people who hang out with us.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. There, I'm laying down the gauntlet. Give us a call.
There you go.
We can include you in our show. We appreciate it. Because you've been to, like, all the shows so far.
Yes. Him, Bigfoot, and Sue have been at all the shows.
That's good.
So,
and Susie's there, right? So, Hi, Susie. Thanks for giving me a call last week. I appreciate it.
Yeah, she is the bomb. She yeah. tweets out the show and everything, even when I mess up like I did last week.
Last week worked out all right. She called in last week and we chatted.
Yeah.
So Susie, you should always call towards the end of the show and let us know how you think we did.
Yes. And once I get my computer up and running, I'll bring back that old promo that I used to like that promo, the one promo that I made for my show, and it had everybody, what's cracking? What's cracking? What's cracking? What's cracking lacking? And Sue was in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved that one. My little promo for the show.
You also made a really funny one called How Smart Is Your President?
I was
friggin' howling. You remember that little game show thing that you did? Let's play How Smart Is Your President? you would ask questions and then use Obama clips to the answers, and it was hilarious. It was
yes, I still have that. It's on my computer. I just gotta get my computer up and running, and I will snatch that one and bring that one too.
That one has got to make it into the uploads.
yeah, that one. Oh, that was hilarious. I loved that one. How smart is your president?
Can you imagine? Let's do another one of those now.
With Biden? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It would. Oh, that would be gold. That would be gold.
Yes. Okay. So it would go something like, okay, here's your first question. I don't really have a question, but go ahead. Anyway.
yeah, that guy.
I'm gonna have to, now you got me. Now you got me thinking. So I'll see what I can do with that.
Yeah, put something together. Put something together. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, because when he goes off of that teleprompter, he's done.
He can't even read the teleprompter. What are you talking about?
Oh,
he can't
he,
even read
yeah,
it.
He can't even read the teleprompter. Oh, I seen a video the other day of him. He was reading the teleprompter and got lost. And you just start, yeah.
And then, what is it? Hold on. Let me just real quick, because there was a headline that it was funny. Biden literally walks away from question about rising prices. Okay. I guess it got cycled out. It was a headline, and I laughed at it. It said, what the hell was that? I can't remember what it said. But I'm sorry. I apologize. I can't remember what it said. But it was like when Biden declares, get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. He literally walks away from. Oh, it was. Oh, I got it. That's what it was. It was Psaki on a. She was on the podcast of Axelrod. He has a podcast.
Oh.
And she was on there. And one of the things that she said was, you know, we try to discourage him from taking questions. You know, that's quite the admission. You know, she goes, you know, she went on to say something to the effect of, his greatest strength is that he says what's on his mind, but his greatest but his greatest weakness is that he says what's on his mind.
Oh shit. That's gold right there.
I know. I mean, it's I don't know what his podcast is. It's called Axel Rod or something. It's a podcast. But, and then, you know, and she goes on there. And that's when, you know, when you're on a friendly podcast and when you're on a friendly thing, they're going to, you're going to crack on the guy, but all the while knowing that you got to cover for him. You know,
yeah,
and that's kind of what this was. It seems like you know, where she says, we discourage him from taking questions, but he does because he does what he wants because he's the president. Yeah, he's not the president. He's the one that says he'll get in trouble if he takes questions. From whom? Right.
Right.
That was the other one I was looking for. I saw a headline where Biden says he'll get in trouble if he takes any questions. Okay, from whom? So that means a couple of things, doesn't it? Automatically, just that statement. Oh, I'm not supposed to take questions. I'll get in trouble if I take questions. Excuse me. That raises a number of questions. From whom will you get in trouble, and why do you who's running the country?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. All right, buddy, we're down to like 2 minutes. So let's wrap it up and do what we got to do promo-wise and we can head on out and thank everybody for joining us and anybody who will listen to this a little bit later. We appreciate you coming out.
We really, really do.
You didn't have to, but you did.
That's
especially
it.
Especially if you made it to this part of the show. Yay!
And there you are with that infectious laugh again. You can't help but to laugh when you start laughing. It's yeah. But it's all good. It's all gravy. And we thank everybody for listening to the show. We have to thank Bigfoot for being here. Bigfoot has always been here. So thank you very, very much for hanging out with us. Sue, of course. Sue does a great job of promoting the show. And she just does great things. And when you get a chance, check her out on Twitter because she gets down with the get down. She provides a lot of stuff there on Twitter. So make sure you check her out. And Mike, we really do appreciate you calling in. You can call in anytime. And like Dave was suggesting, hey,
oh yeah,
we can make you a co-host or something like that. Yeah. You know.
Oh, you picked up on that, huh?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah, he's a great call. He's a great call. So thank you so much for calling in. Thank everybody. And everybody who listens to this, once we get all done and stuff, we appreciate it. Make sure you check back with us next week. We're going to get down with the get down. No show prep necessary, but we do it all the time.
We do a little show prep. We do a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. But we are out of here. Thank you so much. And we'll catch you all on the flip side. Good night.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Well, there you go, homie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job.
Yeah.
It was great you back. I got to tell you, it was great having you back. I mean, I can do it, you know, just like you. You can do it, you know. But when we get together, I'm really glad that you texted me and said, hey, I'm thinking about starting the show back up. I'm really glad that you did that because
yeah, we make a real good team.
We really. Whether anybody else thinks so, we think so. You know, and that's the only reason we're doing. The only reason we're doing this, so
but yeah,
the hell with everybody else. We're having fun. Yeah. Good night, Bigfoot. Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyways, yeah, it was good. I'm glad Mike called back. I'm glad I remembered him. You know.
Yeah. For a second, that may have been. Dang, I can't remember his name right now. He used to hang out with us years and years and years ago, and he had his own show too. Because he was from Minneapolis. What was his name?
Not Reactionaries.
For a second, that's what I thought it was. I mean, it was coming from the same spot, so, yeah. And it looked familiar. But yeah,
does he still have a show?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. And you know, his first name was Mike too.
No, I didn't know. I didn't.
Yeah, his first name was Mike too.
Well, he and I kind of didn't really. We got into a thing.
Mesh. Yeah. Yeah.
It was over the Article 5.
Yes, I do remember that. Those were a lot of heated arguments back then.
Yep.
Yeah, there were a lot of heated arguments.
I'll still argue for it. You know, still argue for it because, you know, you can't tell me that things will open up the Constitution. That's not what it does, you know. And there's people that believe that that's what it does. I don't know if I told you. I ran into a guy when on the 2020 election when we went down to actually vote, and there was a local guy out there. His name was Jose, and he was running for state office. I was there with my son, who was voting for the first time, you know, so it was a thing. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So Jose was out there. He was, you know, we were there early in the day. And Jose was there. I think he was an immigrant. And so, you know, it's like he knew communism and stuff like that. So that was good because we were chatting with him a little bit. And I brought up Convention of States. You know, where are you? Because amending the Constitution is not going to come the way we want it amended, the way many of us want it amended, is not going to come from the federal legislature.
Right.
Right. Because they are not going to vote on something that will control them.
Right.
You know? So it has to come from the states, which makes it just as valid, but it will control them, you know, like a term limits thing, you know. If the states got together and said, okay, you know, we need to do this. Okay. So I started talking with this guy about Convention of States. Well, he had a sidekick who's kind of like stood up in front of him and, you know, and he was like, no, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is do a referendum, put it on the ballot, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, what's wrong with convention? They say, well, because if you open it up, you know, they those guys will do anything. I'm like, nobody's opening up anything. It's you know, we didn't have time, you know what I mean, to really get into, all right, so walk me through what you think is going to happen, you know?
Right.
He thinks it's a constitutional convention, and that's not what it is. It's a convention of states. Now, in my mind, nothing has opened up. You need to get 34 states to agree on a topic, B, language within that topic, or direction, you know, because if you say, like, okay, we're going to do a constitutional amendment regarding gun control. Okay, some states might say, okay, we don't want gun control. Some states might say, okay, yeah, we do want gun control. So in other words, you have to then agree on language. You have to agree on the direction and the essence of the amendment that's being proposed. You need 34 states to agree on all of that, language, essence, direction, 34 states. If 34 states sign on to, not allowing any kind of gun control or something, then you have a proposed amendment. You know,
right?
One of the things that reactionaries was that kind of pissed me off. You know, as a matter of fact, was he was saying, because at the time Mark Levin had a book out called The Liberty Amendment, and they were cracking on him. Him and No Way 90 were kind of in agreement on this. But I was able to talk to No Way 90, and I brought him back, you know, brought him back to my side. But what they were saying is one of the things that he went on Hannity, right? Levin, he went on Hannity, and he's like, now, I'm not going around proposing amendments, you know, but he had a book with like 13 amendments that were ideas for amendments, you know, that were
right.
proposed.
Right.
So he was like, I'm not going around proposing amendments. And then reactionaries were like, but that's what you're doing. And it really isn't. He wasn't doing anything more than what you could do or what I could do.
Right.
As far as ideas for amendments. Ideas for amendments or proposing ideas for amendments is very different than a proposed amendment. Because a proposed
right.
amendment is backed up by 34 states, state legislatures. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it. So in my mind, reactionaries was like, number one, he was way out of line with some of the language that he was using, because I tried to bring him back around. He was way out of line in that regard. But he also didn't understand the word proposed. In that sense. So, you know, if you have a proposed amendment, that means, but from the states, from a convention of states, that means 34 states agree on every aspect of this amendment, you know, term
right. Right.
You know, and then all it takes is four more states to sign on. You know, you need to sell that idea to four more states. Well, that's a lot of them. 38 states. That's a lot. Okay?
Yes, it is.
Now, the fear is from the people who oppose convention of states or amending the Constitution or opening up a constitutional convention, the fear that they have is that people on the left will slip in like a gun control amendment. You know?
Right.
And not realizing that, okay, you are there 34 states who would agree to the language, the direction, and the essence of that idea? Are there 34 states that would say, yes, we think everybody should turn in their guns? Okay, and now past that, are there 38 states that would pass that? So you need, you know, what do we have, 57 states in this country? So you need 13 states. You just need 13 states to put the kibosh on any stupid ridiculousness like that. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Very simple.
So that's where I'm coming from. That's how I see it. That's me walking you through that process.
Yeah.
They can't walk me through that process. Which means they have no idea how it would work. They have an impression of how they think it would go.
Right.
But you haven't thought enough about it. You don't have enough research done about it. So you can pop off if you want. So anyways, that was why this guy at the polling post, the sidekick, you know, he was going on and on. And he was adamant. He was not reachable as far as any of that stuff goes.
Oh, one of those types.
He was just, you know, and as a matter of fact, the guy who was actually running for office said, to me, kind of like, on the side, he said, "Send me an email with some information." This guy, he helps me out and all, but, this is, something that I might be interested in.
Yeah, he's a little over the top. So
yeah.
Send me your email.
So I sent him the information. I sent him, what I did was I sent him an essay that I wrote about conventional states. In the essay, I was kind of like advocating for, first of all, term limits. Second of all, repealing the 17th Amendment.
Yeah.
When that was pointed out to me, I was like, of course, that would do so much. The 17th Amendment is the amendment that allows for the direct election of senators.
Right.
So in other words, you directly elect your representative every 2 years.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they make it so that every 6 years we also directly elect the senators.
Yeah.
That was not how the senators were supposed to be elected or appointed. They were supposed
right.
to be. They were supposed to be appointed by each state legislature, and they were supposed to represent the state's interest in Washington. They're supposed to be like ambassadors. And, once that was explained to me, I was like, holy crap. So now not only do state legislatures have zero representation in office, the federal senators are elected by the same people that elect the representatives. So, the state legislatures are without representation. State governments are without Senate representation.
Right.
But we have double representation for the masses. Let's call it the masses. The masses elect, pure democracy.
Right.
And now they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College, which will mean that's the third leg of the stool that will make us a direct democracy. That's bad.
Right. Yeah.
I posted a TikTok where, somebody was saying one of the biggest lies that has been perpetrated on us as a country is the idea that we're a democracy and not a constitutional republic. And, the person went on. It was just a regular person, pointing out that every place you turn, what you hear is our democracy, this democracy, our democracy, this democracy is you know, in jeopardy. Our democracy demands this, and our democracy, and our democracy, our democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. And she, and that was the point of the TikTok. So I took that TikTok, right, and I pointed and I posted it on Facebook. And you know, one of the guys that used to be a buddy of mine, you know, he always throws spitballs at all of my posts that are not anything to do with music. If I post something that's like, you know, something, hey, I thought that was cool, or hey, this is my opinion type of thing, he always posts spitballs.
Yeah.
So I have taken to just deleting his comments. I'm not going to have him pollute my comment section with just spitballs. I've asked him numerous times, you know, what are your solutions? What do you want to do? You know, and he just throws spitballs. It's partisanness. You know, it's Democrats are great, and you know, blah blah blah. So on this one, he posted, ha 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 ha, LOL. So you think that you think that a minority should be able to dictate how a society goes, you know, dictated by a minority, something like that. In other words, he was rooting for the pure democracy.
Yes.
I just deleted his comment. I just right. deleted his comment. He called me out on it one time, you know, but I ignored him. I could tell it was not going to be worth getting into. Okay, buddy, if you want a pure democracy, that means that 50% plus one person can vote to take away whatever right they want to from you.
Right.
And that's not what the country was really founded on. It was founded on every person, by dint of being a person, has individual liberty. And that is so far gone now. You know, with everything that's going on, you don't have individual liberty. You have identity liberty.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyways, too bad that didn't make the show, huh? That was a good rant.
Yes, it was. It'll be on the backside of the show whenever somebody listens, so it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. Well, anyways, great show once again. And,
How did we know it was going to be a great show?
Hey, we give it our all, and it pops off well. It pops off very well. So,
well, let me say this, Jeep, I appreciate you, and thank you for inviting me back into this forum. It gives me a good chance to vent some of the stuff that I'm thinking, and hopefully it'll make a difference somehow, you know.
Yes. Yeah, somewhere, somehow. Somebody will hear it, and they'll be changed. Yeah.
If only I could bring them to Jesus.
Yeah. But I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. It brings me back. I'm loving it. I really do appreciate you hanging out with me. Because it's like we used to be. Used to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a, I love what we had, but I love what we got. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is just as cool as anything we created back, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, even if we, you know, we're still on page 7, you know.
Right.
I did the work today, and I was like, okay, let's see how far back I can go. Just find out how far back we are. And, you know, it was on number 7. It's all right. You know, upcoming broadcast type of thing. And
yeah.
But, you know, that's all right. We got Mike calling in. We got Bigfoot. We got Bringing It Boy once in a while. Susie Q.
Yeah.
So we just be patient, and we just keep, you know, doing what we do and getting down with the get down.
Yes, getting down with the get down. Things will pick up. I'm sure of it. I'm definitely sure of it.
Do we have any? Just wondering. Do we have any? Do you have any promos of shows that we want to promote? I mean, do we? What kind of a? Let me ask this. I mean, you might know more than I, because I don't spend any time on Blog Talk Radio. What kind of a community do we have out there?
We do have a large community. Some have been around for a long, long time, and I just have to reach out to them. That's all. I haven't reached out to them. And most of the ones that I try and listen to, they do have promos for their shows and promos for other shows too. So I just have to reach out to all of them and get their promos so that we'll have them, so that we can play them on here.
So,
you know,
All right. Do you remember Dana Smearman?
Yeah. Of course I do.
Is he still on Twitter? Active?
He contacted me probably about 4 or 5 months ago. Just wanted to say hi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he contacted me a couple months ago. Yeah, he sent me a DM. And, yeah, just wanted to say hi. So, I mean, he's around.
The reason I'm asking is because the tweet that I composed today for the first time in blah, 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 blah.
It's been years.
I tagged him in it because it was the link to this show, and I tagged I think it was XIM something, and I tagged you, and I tagged Sue, and I tagged Dana Smearman. XIM was someone who bought my book Stay Mad.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. It was, like I said, I did the tweet, and then I hit the at button, and I hit A, and I see if I recognized any of them. Then, you know, there's a whole bunch of A's that I either I follow or follow me. I don't know which one it was. So then, you know, if there was anybody there, I'd tag them. And then I hit B, at B, and I look at all the options for that one. And I had AC. So I found Dana Smearman. I found Susie. I found you. I found XIM. I didn't go through the entire alphabet. I just didn't have time to do all that. But I was curious if he's still on Twitter, and, you know, maybe he got the tweet with the link. You know, man, maybe he'll listen. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, just reaching out, basically.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he's active, but like I said, he did contact me a couple months ago. And, just was checking on me, seeing how I was doing and stuff like that.
And like I said, XIM was just somebody that I knew who bought the book. They didn't have a radio show or anything. You know what I mean? They were just somebody who used to come to the show once in a while. And I don't even know, you know, if it was a man or a woman or, you know, whatever. So, but I tagged him on that one just because it came up. It came up as, you know, in one of the letters that I that I was trying out. I haven't been on Twitter in so long. It's like I don't remember how to do it.
Yeah,
I don't know how to tweet.
Yeah, Sue would probably know a lot more about who's still around and stuff like that. She would probably know. So I'll reach out to her and ask her to. I know I've seen every once in a while. I've seen you remember Holger?
Oh yeah.
Holger
Awakens.
Yes, I see him peek his head out every now and again.
Is he on Blog Talk or just on Twitter?
Blog Talk. I see him on Blog Talk. I don't see him on Twitter. I see him on Blog Talk.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. I see him stick his head around. And, you know, Christy and Osama Dak Doc are still doing their thing.
Oh, yes. Yes. I gotta reconnect with them.
Yeah, they're still doing their thing. I haven't been to any of the shows lately because the DJ thing is picking up, and most of the time I'm occupied on Saturdays.
So
I haven't been able to go to the show and see who's
I used to download the show and listen to it every week. I used to download their show and, you know, headphones at work, because I'm way, you know, after I stopped doing the radio show, it was because I got another full-time job. My substitute mail carrier gig went full-time, but it was full-time on a route that was a smaller route, and it got me done in time to get to another job, which was, you know, 8.5 hours a day, a second shift, you know.
Yeah.
So I would start at 3:00 and I would go to 11:30, and it was janitorial. It was in a school district. I got hired as the supervisor for a school district for all of the maintenance.
Oh wow!
Not the maintenance, but the janitorial stuff. You know, the cleaning,
right,
the housekeeping stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that was, you know, that came with its own set of challenges. I ended up getting fired because one of the guys. This is what I think happened. Okay, one of the guys that worked for me that had been there for years. Early on, he challenged me, right? And I pushed back, and, you know, I got back in his face because he was getting in my face. I got back in his face because I was the supervisor, you know,
right?
And I had to, you know, you got to set the tone. And he knew that it was one thing that I was doing was not approved, and I was like, look, I'm in charge and this is how I'm doing it, type of thing. You know, so, you know, back off. Well, you know, he tattled me out on that. So I had to fix that. But I think what happened was he went into the school district, the office of the school district. He looked in and, you know, I don't know if he was scrubbing and waxing the floors or something, waiting for the wax to dry. He picked up one of the school district books that goes out to all the people who want it, I guess. And
yeah,
in it lists the salaries of everybody in that school district. And he looked up my salary and he was like, oh, hell no. When he saw what I was making, because I was making the top, you know, I was at the top of the pay grade.
Right.
But he'd been there for, you know, 10 years or whatever. Okay, well, if you had a brain about you, they wouldn't have hired me. They would have hired you, you know?
Right.
And then he agitated, and he created the situation that exposed me on a couple of things that would have been fine, you know, if somebody hadn't complained about it. And
yeah,
it was when you're in a situation. I got three schools. I got an elementary school, I got a middle school, and I got a high school, right? And I have people that are assigned areas in each of those schools. When there's full staff, I have about a half an area to do.
Right.
When somebody calls out, I have to go and do a whole bunch of that area. So what I did is I farmed out a little bit of my area to this guy and a little bit of my area to this other guy. Because, you know, if, like they're scrubbing the floors, all they got to do is go an extra, you know, 20 or 30 feet, scrub this section that I would need to do. So that if something came up, I would be able to do more of that area that was vacant that night, and they could stay in their area. I mean, otherwise everybody has to kind of divide that area that's vacant. Everybody's going up and doing something, you know. And
right.
I'd rather keep them in their own area, and I was trying to do as much of it as I could. And you know, that ended up biting me in the ass, and they ended up firing me for something else that went on. He and I had like an altercation, and they said that I sweared at him.
Oh.
So that was apparently enough, and not that he wasn't swearing at me, but
right.
I was the one that was in charge, and I'm not allowed to apparently swear.
Oh. Bad days.
I know. So anyways, I got fired. So you know, luckily the route at the post office got a little bit bigger, and I was able to develop that into something that it doesn't, you know, it's not two full-time jobs by any stretch, but it's, you know, it kept me going. So
right.
And that's what I do now. So the good news is when I'm carrying mail and I'm sorting mail, much of that is what I call automatic pilot. Which allows me the opportunity to focus on different aspects of things that I got going on in my life. Mostly, you know, music areas or, you know, whatever else I need to focus on. I need to think about this. And even thinking about the show, this show now, you know, it's like I kind of go through and I start making notes on different pages. Like today I made notes on how to think for yourself. I started on that page, and
yeah,
you know, just you know, show note type stuff. And but it's not. It's because I don't need to think about this thing I do every day the same way every day. You know, if something comes up, there's a protocol. You know, you follow this and follow that. You know.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, it supports my household, and allows me the opportunity to focus on different aspects that fulfill my life.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So that's what kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, we're good. We are definitely good.
Look at that.
Wow.
We got another half hour out of this.
Wow. Yeah, I was just about to say that. Wow. It's all good, though. The listeners will get a bonus, a good bonus.
There was some good stuff in there, too. We had some.
Oh, yeah.
The Convention of State stuff, that was good.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. So
I have to remember to mention it next week. Hey, listen, after the show ended last week, we had some great discussion about Convention of States.
Yeah. You might want to go check out the end of
go
the show.
Go check it out. Unless your handle is reactionaries.
Yeah. But I'm definitely gonna reach out to some more people. I'm definitely gonna reach out to Sue and find out who's doing what and where and when, and I'm gonna get promos from other people, and we'll have lots and lots of promos to play on the show.
Well, but we also might attract a few a few eyeballs or a few ears to our show. And,
most definitely.
With Mike calling in, we got we had him for quite a while, and he had some really really good points. He's a really smart guy. I think he's, I'm starting to think he's smarter than he's letting on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught that or you got that at all, but I think he's really on to it because he knows everybody's name, right?
Yeah.
He knows exactly what their position is. He knows everything about what he needs to know.
Yeah.
What's going on. And, he's catching me off guard with some of these. Some of these people that he's, what about, so-and-so? I'm on the keyboard. I'm like, clickety, clickety, click, click, click. trying to figure out, how do I not look stupid here?
Yeah.
But, anyways, I'm just getting at that, you do something like this, you want people to listen, So if we can get some more people that can if we can bring some more people in, obviously that's good. So
yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, so I'll see what I can do. Attract more eyes and ears. There have been a few people that I know of. Most of them were on Facebook. They weren't on Twitter. And they've always asked me if I was going to bring back the show, and I always told them yes. But I haven't reached out to anybody on Facebook or nothing like that. I think I'm going to have to reach out to those folks and let them know what's going on.
Yeah, because we're nailing down the format and stuff like that. We've got enough to present,
Yeah.
So if you got people that are, that used to listen and, they remember a format, we're onto it. We got it. So yeah, definitely reach out to those people and let them know.
Yeah.
I mean, next week I'll probably tweet the link again, but also, some other, whoever else I can think of or,
Yeah. Yeah. I used to have
Facebook, but.
Yeah. I used to have a clipboard with about 50 names. And when I used to put the show out, I used to to get most of those guys in there.
Yeah, I think I remember using that technique because you mentioned it. I think I did that too. I had a whole bunch of at that I would just copy and paste into a tweet, of the link. Yeah.
Yeah, and I used to use that app Hootsuite.
I used to use that too, because that would go to a bunch of different platforms.
Yeah. I used to use that. I still have it on my phone. I just haven't used it in years. But
I don't even have it. I rebooted this computer because it got too slow. This computer is, the one I'm using is like probably 12 or 13 years old. It's an iMac. So, you know, you can keep upgrading it. But now there's stuff out there that's like, okay, yeah, you need, 11.2 to have this. I'm like, well.
Right, yeah.
This thing doesn't support 11.2.
Yeah, I have that same issue, too. Because I've got a iMac, too. And it's pretty old. And I've run across the same issues.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, it's great. It's great for everything, you know. But it that all the other stuff around it has evolved to use, you know, a little more advanced protocols. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All righty. Well. I'm gonna get going.
I guess we can call it, yeah.
Yeah, we've been on for almost 45 minutes
after the show ended.
Yeah, after the show ended.
All right, bro. All right, good job, good show. Thank you very much again for everything that you do, and you stay healthy. Keep those radiator flushes going.
Will do. And if I don't, my nurse will beat me up anyways.
Yeah.
All right, man. I will holler at you later.
All right, rock on, bro.
Have a good one.
You too.
Rock on. All right. Bye.